Hello and welcome to your GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification, brain and neuropsychology. This is the topic that answers the big question. How does your brain actually control everything you think, feel, and do? And trust me, once you understand this, it all clicks into place. So grab your revision notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. The nervous system is the body's communication network. Think of it like a superfast broadband connection. Signals travel at incredible speeds to coordinate everything from blinking to solving a maths problem. The nervous system divides into two main parts. First, the central nervous system, or CNS, which consists of the brain and the spinal cord. This is the control centre. It processes information and coordinates responses. Second, the peripheral nervous system, or PNS, which connects the CNS to the rest of the body. Now, here's where candidates often lose marks. The PNS itself divides into two further systems. The somatic nervous system controls voluntary actions, things you consciously choose to do, like picking up a pen. It also carries sensory information to the CNS. The autonomic nervous system, on the other hand, controls involuntary functions, things that happen automatically, like your heart beating and your digestion working. The autonomic nervous system then splits into two more divisions. The sympathetic branch activates the fight or flight response. It prepares your body for action. The parasympathetic branch does the opposite. It calms things down. We call this rest and digest. A great memory hook for this, think SAS. Sympathetic activates, somatic is voluntary. Write that down. Now let's talk about the fight or flight response, because this links beautifully to the James Lang theory of emotion, and examiners absolutely love this connection. When you perceive a threat, say you're walking home and you hear footsteps behind you, your sympathetic nervous system kicks in immediately. Your heart rate increases, your breathing speeds up, your pupils dilate, blood is redirected to your muscles, and non-essential functions like digestion slow right down. All of this happens in seconds, preparing you to either fight the threat or run from it. Now, the James Lang theory, proposed by William James and Carl Lang in 1884, suggests something really interesting about how we experience emotions. Most people assume we feel scared first, and then our body reacts, but James and Lang argued the opposite. They said we notice our body's physical response first, the racing heart, the sweaty palms, and then we interpret that physical state as an emotion. So we don't run because we're scared, we feel scared because we run. This is a really important theory for exam questions. If you're asked to apply it to a scenario, always remember, physical response comes first, emotional label comes second. Right, let's move on to neurons, the building blocks of the nervous system. There are three types you absolutely must know. Sensory neurons carry information from the sense organs to the central nervous system. Relay neurons are found in the CNS and connect sensory neurons to motor neurons. Motor neurons carry signals from the CNS out to the muscles and glands. So the pathway is always sensory, relay, motor. A brilliant mnemonic, SRM. Sensory receives the message, relay routes it, motor makes it happen. Each neuron has a cell body with the nucleus, dendrites that receive signals, an axon that carries the impulse, a myelin sheath that insulates and speeds transmission, and axon terminals at the end. Which brings us to synaptic transmission. This is a five-step process. Step one, an electrical impulse arrives at the synaptic knob. Step two, synaptic vesicles release neurotransmitters into the synaptic cleft. Step three, neurotransmitters diffuse across the cleft. Step 4, they bind to receptor sites on the postsynaptic membrane. Step 5, excitation fires a new impulse or inhibition prevents one. Afterwards, neurotransmitters are broken down or reabsorbed through reuptake. Finally, for this section, Hebb's theory. Donald Hebb proposed in 1949 that neurons that fire together wire together. Repeated practice strengthens synaptic connections through synaptic plasticity. This is the biological basis of learning. Revision literally rewires your brain. How cool is that?
Now let's look at the brain itself, the four lobes and their functions. This is where candidates frequently mix up which lobe does what, so let's nail it. The frontal lobe sits at the front of the brain. It handles decision-making, planning, personality, and voluntary motor control. It contains Broca's area, essential for speech production. Damage causes Broca's aphasia. The person understands language but struggles to produce it. The parietal lobe sits towards the top. Its primary function is somatosensory processing, receiving touch, temperature, and pain signals. It's also involved in spatial awareness. The temporal lobe sits at the sides, roughly behind your ears. It processes hearing and is crucial for memory and language comprehension. It contains Wernicke's area, needed to understand language. Damage causes Wernicke's aphasia. The person speaks fluently but makes little sense. The occipital lobe is at the very back. Its primary function is visual processing. And the cerebellum, at the back and bottom, coordinates movement, balance, and fine motor skills. Memory hook, frontal for thinking, temporal for hearing, parietal for touch, occipital for seeing. FTPO. Localization of function means specific brain areas handle specific functions. The motor cortex controls voluntary movement. The somatosensory cortex processes touch. The visual cortex handles sight. Broca's and Wernicke's areas handle language. Evidence comes from brain damage case studies and scanning techniques, which brings us to cognitive neuroscience. Three scanning techniques you must know. First, CT scanning. Uses X-rays to create cross-sectional images. Excellent for detecting structural abnormalities like tumours or bleeds, but it only shows structure, not function. Second, PET scanning. A radioactive glucose tracer is injected. Active brain areas use more glucose and show up as bright spots. PET shows brain activity. However, it involves radiation and has lower resolution. Third, fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, detects changes in blood flow. Active areas get more oxygenated blood. Excellent spatial resolution, no radiation, but expensive, noisy, and participants must stay still. Quick comparison. CT shows structure only. PET and fMRI show activity. fMRI has the best resolution and no radiation. Exam tips and common mistakes. Mistake 1. Confusing somatic and autonomic. Somatic is voluntary. You choose it. Autonomic is automatic. It happens without thinking. Mistake 2. Wrong direction of impulse. Always sensory to relay to motor. Sensory brings information in. Motor takes commands out. Mistake 3. Confusing excitation and inhibition. Excitation triggers a new impulse. Inhibition prevents one. Mistake 4. Mixing up brain lobes. Use FTPO. Frontal thinks, temporal hears, parietal touches, occipital sees. Mistake 5. Describing scanning techniques incorrectly. CT uses X-rays, shows structure. PET uses radioactive tracer, shows activity. fMRI uses magnetic fields, shows activity, no radiation. Quick FOIA recall quiz. Question 1. What are the two parts of the CNS? The brain and spinal cord. Question 2. What does the sympathetic nervous system do? Activates fight or flight. Question 3. Name the three neuron types in order. Sensory, relay, motor. Question 4. What does the myelin sheath do? Insulates the axon and speeds up impulse transmission. Question 5. According to James Lang, what comes first? The physical response. We feel the emotion because of the bodily reaction. Question 6. Which lobe handles visual processing? The occipital lobe. Question 7. What does fMRI measure? Changes in blood flow to detect active brain areas. Question 8. What did Hebb mean by neurons that fire together wire together? Repeated activation strengthens synaptic connections, the biological basis of learning. Brain work. Quick summary. Nervous system divides into CNS and PNS. Autonomic splits into sympathetic and parasympathetic. Three neuron types, sensory, relay, motor. Synaptic transmission has 5 steps. Hebb's theory explains learning through synaptic plasticity. 4 brain lobes each have specific functions. CT, PET, and fMRI are the 3 scanning techniques. This topic links to memory, perception, development, and mental health. Examiners love cross-topic questions. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, believe in yourself, and good luck in your exams. You've got this.